No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, and I'm simply running out of words to describe the 2025 Colorado Rockies. Lose Tuesday night 8-2, already dropping the series with Atlanta, an 8-game losing streak, 5 in a row here at home, and Colorado falls to 4-25, tied with the 1988 Orioles and the 2003 Tigers for the worst 29-game start in the modern era. That dates back to 1901. The Orioles in 88 went 0-21 to start their season, and the Tigers ended up losing 119 to set a then American League record. Rockies also have had 3 losing streaks of 6 or more games so far this season. There have been 7 in all of Major League Baseball. Rockies own 3 of those. And now Colorado has lost 16 of their last 17 games. So that means they have almost consecutive 8-game losing streaks. They won a game in between there. That was in that doubleheader against the Nationals at home. So you'd have to, I think, go back to like April 11th when the Rockies had played a game in which they didn't also lose. So pretty wild. So 3 8-game losing streaks in Major League Baseball so far this year. Rockies own 2 of them, but I'll tell you what, they're striking out a lot less. That's what I will tell you. I do have to talk a little bit about Shador Sanders. That'll be at the end of the episode. If you're not interested in that, or if you're just here for Shador Sanders, go ahead and skip ahead. I'll have to talk a little bit about a couple minor leaguers winning Player of the Week awards, some injury news. But let's go back to Monday night, where the Rockies had a 3-0 lead early against Atlanta, thanks to a 3-run blast by Hunter Goodman. And it was, you know, Ryan McMahon was there for one of those runs, actually damn near past Jordan Beck as they're trotting around the bases. Touched home plate right after Beck did. And that was a good game at the plate by McMahon, who walked a couple times. However, on Tuesday, ends up going 0-for-4 and now extends his hitless streak to 31 consecutive at-bats. Second longest hitless streak by a position player in franchise history. Dezzy Relaford, a utility infielder, 33 at-bats from between June and July, nearly a month, in 2005. So McMahon looking to get off the schneid. Would it help him if he wasn't batting third in the lineup? I don't know. But if you're trying to win games and you've got a guy struggling that badly, maybe number 3 in the lineup isn't exactly the best fit. But Ryan Feltner, unfortunately, gave back those runs, was charged with the loss. Did he lose that game? Sure, but he was having back issues. Remember, he did get scratched. Sunday was supposed to be his start, but after a great 7 innings of work in Kansas City on Tuesday, Thursday he was in the gym doing his typical weight training and felt like some back spasms. He's never really had it like that, and so he was battling that all night. You saw that on back-to-back swinging bunts from Eli White and Nick Allen, who hit the ball a combined 7 feet. Yes, the first one went 4 feet. The second one was an RBI single that traveled 3 feet, had a negative 65 launch angle. Insane. And Feltner came down to pick the ball up, and you saw him stagger just a little bit. There was another moment later in the game where, in watching the play, I don't think they replayed it, but there's a delay when you're in the press box, so you can watch what happens. The play will play itself out, and then there's still another second or two, sometimes three, before you look up at the television and you get to see what happened. And it almost looked like Feltner kind of turned his ankle. He didn't. It was just a little bit of a movement, just a wavering of strength, if you will. And I think that was the back going out there as well. So he just didn't have that final 10% on his fastball and his pitches. And that was the difference in the game. That wasn't the unfortunate difference in the 6-3 loss to Atlanta, who come to Colorado at just the right time to get themselves back on track. The bullpen has been solid. Once again, they've been really good. Jake Bird was scoreless on Monday. Did give up a hit, struck out one, was very emphatic coming off the field as he typically likes to. Entered the day at a 1.08 ERA, dropped it to 1.02 on the season, third best among NL relievers. We still got a long way to go until we get to the All-Star game. But Jake Bird, look, there are some setup men that do get acknowledged during the All-Star game. And, you know, I've been a Bird man since dating back to 2021 and talking with him down in the Arizona Fall League. I've probably sound like a broken record talking about that when he wasn't added to the 40-man roster, and he knew he wouldn't be. And yet it would be only a month or so into the 2022 season that he would get promoted and almost immediately earn the trust of manager Bud Black and put in high leverage situations. We're seeing a lot more from Angel Chivigi, who has had four consecutive outings of multiple innings, and not even just one plus innings. We're talking two innings or more, which have all been really good. Through his last five games, he's got a 2.61 ERA with seven strikeouts. So he's been a bright spot for the bullpen. Juan Mejia also had himself a scoreless inning on Monday. You might recall that he made his debut on Thursday in the second game of the doubleheader against Kansas City as the 27th man, went back down to Albuquerque. Well, he's back in the bullpen because Bradley Blaylock was sent back down to AAA. It was only a spot start. And for anyone saying, I want to see more of this guy, you will, and you should. But if you keep Bradley Blaylock around, you now have a 6-man rotation, which means you only have a 7-man bullpen, and you just can't do that. So Blaylock was up for the one game, did his job as best as he could during a very lopsided game against the Reds on Sunday, but he goes down to Albuquerque, continue to stretch out as a starting pitcher, and Mejia can actually help the bullpen out. Going into Tuesday night, and they extended this streak, they had about 66 innings. They were talking about it a lot on the broadcast. Didn't see the broadcast, or rather, didn't listen to the television side of the broadcast, but there's televisions, as I mentioned, in the press box, so saw those stats. That's crazy. That's a franchise record that the bullpen has not allowed a home run in. Now we're looking at about 70 innings, and it's just crazy to think that they are setting such an incredibly positive record, even when as little as this, right? It's certainly not something you're talking about all the time at the water coolers. Hey, how many innings since they've given it a home run? It's just one of those things that happen, but it happens. But it does underline how good this bullpen has been. And yet it comes at the exact same time that they are setting so many negative records in terms of wins and losses. Jordan Beck found himself standing on second base three times on Monday. Two were a double. One was just a total botch job of an error that got himself there. So he's just absolutely raking. Tuesday night, Germán Márquez was not his best, giving up seven runs, 11 hits in 5 1/3 innings pitched, lost his fifth straight start, the longest losing streak of his career. Rockies have lost each of his six starts this year. Márquez has allowed 30 runs, 28 of which are earned over his last five starts. So that's a 12.81 ERA. Most runs he's allowed in a five-start span in his career. Not sure what's going on. Might need himself a little time on the IL. I imagine he is working through some soreness, which would be typical. This is the most amount of starts he's made in a row at the big league level since 2022. So there are going to be those literal and figurative growing pains coming back in your first full season in returning from Tommy John surgery. So we'll just have to wait and see if Blaylock or even Tanner Gordon, who I think is deserving of another opportunity here in the majors, maybe something like that does happen with Marquez going on the IL. We'll just have to wait and see if he does make his next start over the weekend in San Francisco. Michael Tolia did all of the run scoring. He had two RBI, did have a home run, his third of the season, second in four games. He's now slashing 286, 326, 524 on the slug with three homers and 12 RBI in 12 games since April 16th. He was really bad before then. So he's improved the strikeout rate too. I know going into Tuesday, it was something like 23%. And, you know, he was well above 30. I mean, he was at 50%, it felt like, for the first week of the season. So Tolia turning some things around. Goodman, you know, has been staying relatively sharp. Tovar, you got to hope is going to be back somewhat soon, although the unfortunate news with him coming out over the weekend and Monday, Buddy talked about it again, still might be like a week to 10 days away from returning. He's eligible to come off the IL with that left hip contusion. I keep wanting to say left hip impingement, but it's a left hip contusion. And having some issues, you know, bending down, fielding balls, he's feeling it there. And, you know, frankly, in a season in which you're guaranteed to be losing 100 games at this point, it's yet another lost season. You do not want any lingering injuries from Ezekiel Tovar to last into 2026 and beyond. You do not want that. So are you going to err on the side of caution? Abso-friggin-lutely. So there are some signs of life. It's just, as I've mentioned it before, it's a four-legged stool that you need all legs to work to win ball games. And when only three of them are working, sometimes you can win a game. But when you are just not adept at squeezing out those victories, like the Rockies just have not been in many, many years, and they really haven't been since the loss of Nolan Arenado, you're not going to win those games. And there's been a lot of contests in which they only have two of those four legs of the stool. So very, very rough going. Austin Gomber, when was he going to return? He's hopefully going to be picking up a baseball soon. He literally just has not picked up a baseball to throw since that March 28th rehab start on opening night down in AAA. And I imagine when he does pick up a ball, we're looking at, you know, probably 2 months. You know, can he ramp it up quicker than that? Maybe, probably. But spring training is 6 weeks to get ready for the regular season. And players, when they go into spring training, they've already been working out during the off season. So Gomber is not doing anything right now, and he shouldn't. My voice is going up like that to kind of underline how far away a player like him is going to be. And I phrase it like that because the Rockies do tend to underestimate how long players are going to be out for injuries. And I think that's worse than if you were to say, Gomber, you know, we're not sure we're going to get him back in the first half of the season. Yeah, are people going to be upset? Sure, but there's going to be no blame. It's going to be simply, man, that is just a bummer. We're really disappointed, but it wouldn't change anything over the course of those 3 months of the season. And when he comes back early, because you overshot your estimate, everyone's looking good. Everyone's looking good. But they typically go the other way and say, you know what? Yeah, we'll see with Tovar. Could be the minimum 10 days. No, it's not. We could be looking at double that. So poor estimation like that. And then you're waiting around for something to happen, and you the mind starts to wander. You really begin to have some serious concern when, you know, it just required a little bit more time on the IL. Victor Vodnik, another player that is currently on the mend. I talked with him before Monday's game. He's sort of, I was poking around to, you know, be curious with him now in his third year in the majors. if it's easier to communicate with staff, with buddy, with teammates. Teammates, it's a little bit easier because you could say anything to them. But to the coaching staff, when you're sore or when there's a certain ailments that are a little bit more serious, you know, when you're a young player, you just give me the ball. I got to go out there and play and perform. This could be my only shot in the majors. And you push through those kind of things. Athletes have a tendency to do that. As they get further along in their career, certainly it's less and less. But for a young guy like Vodnik, who's still trying to make his bones, he said, you know, I want to have a long career. I plan on having a long career. So the type of arm work that he is doing right now to get himself ready is hopefully going to allow him to finish out the season without another stint on the IL. So he's managing that incredibly well. Down in the minors, you get two player of the weeks. Or are they players of the week? Players of the weeks? I'll think about that one. LeBaron Johnson Jr. At the University of Texas, I believe, last year, at last year's draft, California League Pitcher of the Week, did a nice job scattering two hits over six scoreless innings of work. 6-5 righty, looking really solid. He's now 1-0 with a 1.80 ERA through four starts. Still got a way to go as he's just down in low A right now, but he was one of those guys in the pitching class from 2024. And then Jared Thomas, also from last year's draft there, the Rockies' third overall pick. He's their number 12 prospect. He was the Northwest League Player of the Week. That's high A. He hit .520, had a .600 on-base percentage and a .960 slug over a six-game hitting streak that included a triple, three homers, 11 RBI in a week. Damn. And two stolen bases. He's now hit safely in 18 of 21 games. And yes, he is an outfielder. But as we've seen, the Rockies are still looking for three really solid outfielders. So sure, the top half of their entire top 30 prospects may be outfielders, but there's not too many really helping them out in a major way, other than Jordan Beck, who is not a prospect and he's not a big league rookie anymore. Let's get down to Shador Sanders and how that impacts the Colorado Rockies, because it does. Is it a major way? I don't know. You be the judge, but let me paint a picture for you. The Savannah Bananas are coming to Colorado. They're going to be playing at Coors Field on back-to-back games August 9th through 10th. Colorado, of course, on the road at that point. Kids back in school, but still, it's a special occasion. The Bananas have not played in Colorado yet, and they've not played at Coors Field yet. If you want tickets, you should know that the lottery did close in November. If you've won the lottery, your tickets, or if you do win the lottery, your tickets will be able to be get purchased 2 months ahead of the event. So it's probably going to be in early June or June 9th and 10th if you're looking at exactly 2 months ahead. If you don't win the lottery, or if you have bad luck and you don't want to wait around, all you got to do is become a Rockies season ticket holder. Technically, you can buy these tickets if you get one of the Passport mini plans, which sounds nice, but it has to be at the Hall of Fame level, so you'll need to fork over $2,500 for that. Now, in the past, the Bananas have had tons of surprise guests come out and suit up and actually play in this game. I didn't realize that when they were down in spring training, they had a game in Arizona. Christian Saez of DNVR Rockies mentioned this, that Ryan McMahon was there. He was just hanging out. He just had his, you know, stylish ball cap on and his fleece jacket. He was just chilling, but he was there. Bananas go a little bit further, and they will get former players to suit up and play in these games. You might have seen Ryan Howard do it in Philadelphia in the past. John Cena did it in Tampa Bay. Former ball players like Josh Reddick, Shane Victorino, Roger Clemens did it in Houston. But what about Coors Field? Who's going to be the person that suits up for the golden at-bat? Charlie Blackmon? Maybe. Tim Tebow? Dude was an Eastern League All-Star. Let's not forget, after he was done playing football with the Broncos, maybe. But how about Deion Sanders? And how about Deion Sanders now? That's where it becomes a little bit sticky. Now, Shador Sanders, quarterback who just had his number retired over at CU Boulder, was expected to be a first-round guy. There was a lot of prognosticators that had him going early in that draft. Ends up falling to the fifth round, and a lot of folks are just saying, well, people really weren't impressed with him in a lot of different ways. The theory that I am putting a little bit of stock in is that Deion has said that he wants to coach his son or sons in the NFL. He wants to be the head coach. So if you are drafting a quarterback and you've got one that doesn't have a father that might be a little bit meddling, and even if he's not as good as Shedeur Sanders, you can probably squint and be okay with that and not second guess yourself. But if you do take Shedeur Sanders, you might be drafting a guy whose dad is going to then take your job. So it wasn't like he totally went undrafted, but still, I think there was maybe a message sent just a little bit by teams in a certain way. And so Deion, yeah, he's always going to be a high profile guy, but maybe he needs to lay low if that's even possible, right? Or as much as possible, just a little bit. So you get Deion to show up though on August 9th and 10th, or even one of those dates, that's going to help you draw fans the next time you come through Denver, whether that's 2026 or that's 2027. And the money from the tickets, ticket sales and concessions, which right now is entirely on the Bananas. Like, got to give them that credit for doing that, right? It's going to be the same way going forward as well. That's why you want to make sure you have a good show. There's somewhat of an adage when it comes to stand-up comedy is that people will pay to see you once, period. Like, I saw Nate Bargatze, who, great comedian, he's now even hosted SNL a couple times, was really excited to see him. It was a decade ago. It was in 2016 at Comedy Works South. Comedy Works, just one of the best comedy clubs in all the United States. Don't take my word for it. You can ask a ton of stand-up comedians. I'm a stand-up comedian nerd. You might not know that about me. I've done a couple open mics in the past, had fun doing that. But saw Nate Bargatze, and a lot of his act was stuff that I had seen on his previous stand-up specials on Comedy Central. And frankly, I was a little disappointed. So I came out to see him once, and I'm not going to do it again. Now, he has definitely ascended to another level, but that sticks in my craw. And, you know, I don't know what he's been able to do with some of his arena tours, if he is rolling back the act and, you know, playing the best of, which some comedians who've been around for a while will do as somewhat of an encore. But I've seen Todd Barry is one of my favorite comedians. I've seen him a bunch of times. There's no retreads in his act. It's always new. It's always fresh when he comes around. Rory Scovel is the same thing. Some of it is improvisational. But as a stand-up comedian, you need to make sure you are giving people something that's going to make them want to come back. And when it's just a retread of something they're already familiar with, they're not going to come back quite as much or quite as often. So the Bananas have an opportunity to make an impression on the 50,000 people that show up to the ballpark. Is like, wow, you had a really great time, right? Enough that you want to come back? That's what they are trying to do. They are not just trying to put on a show, a great show for 2 days. They're trying to put on a great show that's so great that you want to come back again, despite the fact that you already saw them. In fact, they might even go all out to the extent that you saw them on August 9th, and as you're walking out of the ballpark, you're going over on StubHub or SeatGeek, and you're trying to scalp tickets for the next night. And all of that bodes well for the business of the Bananas. Will Deion be a part of that? Will he not? Is that going to have an impact on people coming back to Coors Field to watch the Bananas? And I bring all of this up because that money from ticket sales and concession, a lot of it goes to the Colorado Rockies. Not every event and every concert that goes on at Coors Field, 100% of the money does not go to the Colorado Rockies, but a lot of it does. And the Rockies are very much hard up for some cash right now after losing that TV deal. It's funny, in doing a little research for this, because I don't just turn a mic on and talk off the top of my head. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to have an outline. I noticed it was like 4 days ago that Savannah Bananas released this on their YouTube channel. Travis Hunter was in Savannah for a game. He didn't play at all, but he did participate in the festivities, did a little bit of dance, a whole thing there, which was kind of cool to see. You know, it is funny. Some athletes that are world-class athletes, they can't do all the sports athletically. If you've ever gone out to, which you probably haven't because I think it's, they don't let fans in for it, but when the Broncos come to try and raise money and they have their own home run derby, it can be pretty rough for some guys where they're gripping the bat like a caveman, trying to swing and hit that ball with all their might, and they can't do it. They're lucky if they can get some ground balls. So it's definitely interesting seeing football players trying to do the baseball thing because they can't all do it, and they certainly can't all do it like a Deion Sanders would. So make sure you're following me over on social media. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, very strong chance that I'm going to say about 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock on Wednesday, I'll be live from Coors Field broadcasting there, doing a live show, wrapping up the Atlanta series, and really looking at who could possibly be on a warmer hot seat than Bud Black right now. Anytime that you are just having a catastrophic season like this, sometimes people will get thrown under the bus, whether it's deserving or not. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, it's probably deserving. But I've said it before, Joe Girardi, Joe Madden, Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker, Tony La Russa, if you think he's got something left in the tank, how many more wins is he possibly squeezing out of this team? How many more wins? So is that really the problem why the Rockies are going to lose 100 games 3 years in a row when Bud Black is simply a field manager and not the general manager like Bill Schmidt? We'll talk about that because I think there might be a couple folks on a slightly warmer hot seat than Bud Black. That'll, again, be live over on YouTube. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel Rockies Insider, they will let you No, they will notify you when I am live. So that should make your life a lot easier at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies Insider on all social media platforms. Thank you for listening and giving me this momentum to get through the show today. Hopefully I'm allowing you to get through your day based on how rough it's been and how difficult it's been for the Rockies to give you a smile and put a smile on your face. Hopefully I was able to do that, or at least give you something to think about, something to chew on besides the fact that the Rockies are 4-25, 22-win pace season. You see, I'm not ending on a high note. Now I'm not making you smile. I'm sorry. You made me smile today for joining me and give me this momentum, but as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as my next show, so of course, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.